John 6:35. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. John 6:35. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. John 6:35. Psalm 33:8. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death. Psalm 33:8. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death. Psalm 33:8. Exodus 33:15. If your presence does not go with me, do not bring us up here. Exodus 33:15. If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up here. Exodus 33:15. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study. The subject today, good things to remember. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. All of us are aware of the fact that our purpose for being here is to open our hearts and minds to the good things that God has for us. And he has for us the message from his wonderful word. The word of God is certainly alive and powerful. And you and I have the privilege of advancing, growing in grace and knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. So take this time, please, to be in harmony and fellowship, ready to receive spiritual fuel for your souls. May we pray together, please. Father, we're aware that we need always to keep our focus in the right direction, our hearts in tune, and help us to be aware of the fact that we need to have vertical divine viewpoint, understanding that the only way that we can have divine viewpoint is for us to see as our Lord sees and have the mind of Jesus Christ. We realize that the Bible teaches us so vividly that that's our responsibility while we're here on this earth. However many years you give us, the responsibility while we're here is for us to see as you see from a divine, vertical, divine viewpoint. We pray that you will guide us in these moments of study today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask you, if you will, please, to open to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're going to begin with verse 23 and read down through the verse which is our key verse for today. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. What I'd like to do in these moments before we have our observance of the Lord's table is to give you just a quick review. And so if you'll listen attentively and carefully, you may want to take just a note or two, but primarily what I'm going to do is to give you this information in summary form and to deal with the subject of good things to remember. The emphasis here today, number one, is how the Lord's table first began. We find this in Exodus chapter 12. If you would like to write that reference, that would be good for you to have. Exodus chapter 12. Number one, the children of Israel, God's chosen, had grown from a family to a huge nation. Number two, they were in Egypt, a strange land, as slaves. Number three, God had plans for this nation to move it to its promised land. A promised land area, including Judea, Samaria, and so forth. Number four, Moses would lead them. Number five, but each family had to observe a new ordinance. A death angel was coming through Egypt as a plague to kill the oldest boy in each family. This was punishment to the Egyptians because of their attitude toward the Jews and their restrictions upon them. The Lord made a provision for all people who would obey His words, that is, so that this tragedy would not come upon their families. They were ordered to kill an animal, catch the blood in a basin, and put that blood over all three sides of their front doorpost. When the death angel came by, if the people did what had been instructed, the death angel would, notice, pass over, and no discipline would be theirs. I feel it's important for you to notice the capital letters of the words. If the people did not obey, one thing happened. If the people did what had been instructed, the death angel would pass over, and no discipline would be theirs. They were to stay inside the house, eat unleavened bread for a week, then that night, eat the meal of the slain animal. The Jews who obeyed were spared. God told them to do this every year as an ordinance. This is found in Exodus chapter 12, 24 and 25. To remember, that is the biblical concepts. What I did for myself here was to point out the fact, when I said to remember, that I wanted you to see how important the gift of God is to us in the realm of memory. The biblical concept of memory. One of the greatest gifts that you and I have from God is the gift of memory. We're not going to be talking about that in length here, other than just to point it out to you. To do this every year as an ordinance, as recorded in Exodus 12, 24 and 25, to do this in remembrance, the biblical concept of memory. Number six, we can call this a Passover shadow. Capital letters here, Passover shadow. Why? A shadow represents a representation of the real, but not real. Over the years, probably hundreds of times, I've given you the illustration of being a little boy walking with my dad down our little road in front of our farmhouse. And I would remember seeing how the sun would reflect his shadow on the road. If I wanted to say to my dad, I love you, I would not just fall down on the road over that shadow and reach for that shadow and touch the shadow and look at that shadow and say, Dad, I love you. I would not do that, of course. If I wanted to express my love to my dad as a little boy, I would probably just turn and wrap my arms around his legs and look up into his eyes and say, "Daddy, I love you." If you'll notice what I've said here, a shadow is a representation of the real, but not real. The shadow was pointing to a time when Jesus Christ would give himself totally on the cross. And God, our Heavenly Father, would judge Jesus Christ for our sins. And then he would be satisfied, propitiated. For more than 44 years now, I have said to you that the word propitiation is a beautiful word. It is the word which means satisfaction. Our Heavenly Father would judge Jesus Christ for our sins, and then he would be propitiated, satisfied. We would not receive the judgment from God's justice, but it would pass over to the Lord Jesus Christ instead. In that shadow, it was a Passover to an animal. Number three, the unleavened bread, no yeast or rising agent, means that Jesus would have no sin in him. Number four, the blood meant that Jesus would die spiritually and physically for our sins. I stop you to let you think with me. Note, please, animal life is in the blood. Human life is in the soul. It's important for you and me to be able to see this. Number four, again, the blood meant that Jesus would die spiritually and physically for our sins. Note, please, animal life is in the blood. Human life is in the soul. Number three, the last Passover with the disciples was also the first Lord's table. Subpoint one, Jesus always does things right. We see that so beautifully manifested in Matthew 26, 26 to 29. In all these verses that we're reading in 1 Corinthians. Subpoint one, then, Jesus always does things right. Subpoint two, he sought to explain to the unknowing disciples that he was the Passover lamb who would be offered on the very day of the Jews' celebration. On the very day that the Jews celebrated the Passover, to be a visible sign to the perceptive Jew. No more animals would be slain. No more animals would have to be slain. The shadow becomes insignificant when reality is present. The shadow blood would not have to be collected in a basin anymore. His blood meant that he would himself die, both spiritually and physically. Subpoint three, the animal's blood and Christ's spiritual death, blood, means the total work of Jesus Christ on the cross. That's the reason why through the years we've given you these capital letters, TWOCOC, which stands for the total work of Christ on the cross, rather than blood. Notice, if you will, please, in parentheses, animal's blood. The animal's life was and is today in the blood. The animals were tied down, and while kicking to be freed, stabbed in the throat, The animal's blood was caught in a dish. Then the animal was skinned. His insides burned. His meat eaten by the priest. Notice, please, when Jesus Christ died, we emphasize what he did for us, not only physically, but spiritually. Christ's spiritual death, he did not have to be tied down. He laid down his life, the scripture says, voluntarily. This is beautifully presented to us in the Gospel of John. If I were you, I would write John 19, 16 to 20, or 16 to 30, actually. Jesus Christ did not bleed to death because his life was in his soul, not in his blood. He gave up his own life. The blood of Christ refers, of course, to the total work of Christ. So many people do not understand that. And they think that you're diminishing the value, when in reality, you're diminishing the value if you see it from a human standpoint and not from a spiritual standpoint. The blood of Christ refers to the total work of our Savior Jesus Christ. Romans 4. Jesus commanded believers of the church age to regularly have a remembrance time. That's what we're doing today. The scripture references have to do with Corinthian passage. The Apostle Paul speaks of this. In 1 Corinthians 11, 25, 26, we read verse 26 today. It's my responsibility as the pastor to stand here and represent the Lord Jesus Christ and lead this time of worship. It's a special time set aside for worship. This is a beautiful time, a magnificent time. What a responsibility I have to represent our Savior in having this worship time. A special time set aside to worship. Our church does this every 3 months. On the table today, you will see two elements. Bread, representing the humanity of Christ, representing his physical body. The bread has no leaven in it because the Lord's humanity had no sin. This is a picture of purity. When we partake of the bread, we recall what Jesus Christ has done for us, which includes life, which includes his life, includes his death, includes his resurrection, includes his ascension. Notice how great these subjects are. What we're doing today is remembering God's gift of memory. And we're remembering in these quiet moments today his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension. What we do is we take time to reflect on the biblical concepts of the divine decrees, the justice of God, the righteousness of God, the virgin birth, the hypostatic union, redemption, reconciliation, propitiation, the cross, session, and the high priesthood. Do you notice how slowly I'm presenting these? Each one could be presented in hours of information presented in the Word of God. Today also you will see what is represented by wine, his covenant to us, provision, royalty, priests, indwelling Christ, indwelling the Holy Spirit. No animal sacrifices. There are some rules that we should remember as we observe the Lord's table. The first thing is truth in the soul makes this observance meaningful. If we come to this time of the Lord's Supper and there's no spiritual truth in the soul, then this time is a meaningless time. If we come into this service and we spend these few moments in silence and in the observance of the Lord's table with truth in the soul, then it becomes extremely meaningful. So, rule number one, truth in the soul makes the observance meaningful. One of the most important things about this is that anyone who comes to this auditorium as a believer can participate in the Lord's Supper if they so desire. But there's something that's extremely important, and that is to observe the Lord's table. A believer must realize the importance of being in fellowship, in harmony, in right relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. So church membership is not required, but fellowship is required. Truth in the soul makes the observance meaningful. Being in fellowship makes it extremely wonderful. While observing, use the time to be quiet and recall great biblical precepts. These silent moments are beautiful moments. I don't know what all goes through your mind in those silent moments, but it's a magnificent time to let the mind just recapitulate who Jesus is, what Jesus has done, what Jesus Christ is doing, what Jesus Christ has in store for us for now and for the future. Memory. Memory means to think, to remember. Remembering is thinking of something, either thinking of a place or a person. Remembering in this service is thinking of Jesus. Remembering what you know about Him. Remembering what you know about God. That's an important part of our worship. Remembering brings joy and peace and happiness. What is so sad is that many people are trying to use their memory to drown out their problems in life. Some use drugs or alcohol or various things to seek to drown out the problems of life. It's a beautiful thing to allow memory of God and God's Word and Jesus and what Jesus Christ has done and is doing to take care of us. A person who reflects or a person who rejects? A person who rejects Christ and ends up in an eternal destruction, the Scripture says, will remember. They'll remember. It's found in Luke chapter 16. A person who rejects, but a person who accepts, is a person who is filled with joy and happiness. We must remember, of course, the authority of God's Word and realize that our souls are guarded, safeguarded by truth. Taking in God's Word gives us truth, the good things to remember. A critical mind eliminates one's ability to remember the good things about a person. What I'm trying to say is remembering is very important. It's good for us to hide God's words in our hearts and remember. Remembering is very important for God's word to continue to build in our souls. When people go against God's will and plan, the word and remembering God's truth will be forgotten. That's the reason why this scripture says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes." And then he said, and this is a command, "This, observance of the Lord's table, this do ye in remembrance of me." Isn't this wonderful to be able to have this time together? We bow for prayer. Our men will come at this time, please. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate your help so much. Father, we're thankful for the time we have together today. This is a magnificent time for us to remember our wonderful Lord, his willingness to leave heaven's glory and come to the earth and go to the cross and bear our sins. We're the recipients of that magnificent gift of grace through Jesus Christ, our salvation. We're thankful for it. We pray that you will guide us in these moments of silence, that we may allow our study of the past days to just be a blessing to us now. And we thank you for every blessing in Jesus' name. It is our custom to retain the bread until all have been served. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. The bread represents the Lord Jesus Christ, whose body was broken for us. Take and eat thereof. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, we read, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we're healed. The bread represents the Lord Jesus Christ, whose body was broken for us. Take and eat thereof. Father, we're thankful also for the fact not only were You willing to give Yourself from the standpoint of giving Your body, but You were willing also to shed Your blood, which is a beautiful picture of what You've done for us in giving to us salvation, which is so magnificent and wonderful. We're grateful today for salvation through Jesus Christ. We pray that You'll guide us, that we may always remember what You've done for us physically and spiritually. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. It is our custom to retain the cup until all have been served. We have not been redeemed by corruptible things like silver or gold, but by the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without spot or blemish. Remember, as we take this cup, we remember His willingness to be our substitute. Take and drink thereof. It is our custom to sing, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." Sly will come and lead us. It's page 324. Gentlemen, you're dismissed, and we'll let him come and lead us as we stand together, please. Sing 324. Thank you, and you're dismissed. That's good.